Okay, this is the third talk in the series. This one's even more detailed about some of the aspects of using high-performance 3D graphics, which is popular in a lot of games, in the Metro environment. And it's not really the Metro environment that is the point here. It's more the fact that the Metro environment is available on a really broad range of hardware. And so if I've got 3D code that tends to be sort of optimized for individual generations of silicon because they have slightly different feature sets, how do I make a single application work? So historically what happened is these graphics chips have evolved each consecutive generation by adding more and more features. It's kind of like the CPU side has added a feature kind of when they went from 32-bit to 64-bit. That was kind of the kind of feature boundary that was producing some incompatibilities. With GPUs, they've done that about every 3 years. So it was worse in the old days, like the last decade. They were adding new features every year. They've slowed down a bit. But the result of that is kind of what we used to have with DirectX, is we went from this, when we didn't have a GPU involved, to this when we did. There's about 10 years difference between those titles. Okay, so this is the landscape that we're in today, where these are the features that are guaranteed to be present in pretty much every graphics chip that's out there that will ever run Windows 8. So if you're putting a title in the store, target this feature set, you're happy. None of your users will say, it doesn't run on my machine. However, there is another generation of silicon out there called the DirectX 10 silicon, which added additional features to that basic set. And in some cases, it did things like increase the maximum texture size. So I can have a 2K by 2K texture here. I can have an 8K by 8K texture here. Then when we shipped Windows 7, we added this thing called DirectX 11, which added another column of functionality, like Direct Compute, which provides random access I/O. We had tessellation. We also added some new texture compression formats and texture linkage capability, which the older parts did not support. So to handle all of this, we added modes to the Direct3D 11 API that we call feature levels. And each of those, so that the API is always DirectX 11 syntax, but it may be operating in a DX9 feature mode or a DX10 feature mode or DX11 feature mode. And then depending on that mode, you get access to the corresponding features if you're on the right hardware. And so the way this looks in the API is there's an enum that lets you specify, like this, the range of feature levels that you want to support. There's actually a couple dot releases in between of those. There's 9.1, 9.3, and then there's 10 and 10.1, 11.11.1. 11.1 was just added in Windows 8. And so the way you use this is you initialize the graphics pipeline and you give it the list of feature levels that you want to support. So that previous struct there, that was what gets passed in here. And then what happens is the graphics API looks at the list of feature levels, figures out which is the highest one that it can support, and then returns that here as the one that's actually in the machine. And so that's how you can basically say, okay, these are the feature levels that I've written code that I know my application will exploit, but I still want to know what is the maximum feature level that I should expect to be able to send information to the chip on that this particular card has. So if I've got a low-end device, it may return a feature level here of 9_1, and then if I passed in 9.1, I'll get 9.1 at this. If there are none that match, then this returns a fail, and that's not ever good, as in you will probably not get your application submitted into the store if it just crashes on launch on anybody's hardware. So what it means is that you need to make sure that you at least have a dialog box that comes up and says, this hardware is really too old for my application to run, or something, hopefully that won't get you in trouble with the hardware vendor. But you don't want to crash. And ideally, what I'm going to cover today is you should be able to take your application and make it run even on the very, very basic Direct3D chips. So these are the ones I want to support. This is what I actually end up having to support of that list. Okay, so the trick is, what we recommend is, get a current machine. I mean, pretty much every machine that's been sold in the past probably 6 months has a DX11 chip in it. Even like the new Ivy Bridge units from Intel, those are all DX11 chips. Then you're covered because you know that your machine's going to be able to use any feature that's out there. But when you first start writing, restrict yourself to the bottom feature set and then build up from there over time. And the way you do that, well, then what we're going to be doing is potentially dynamically calibrating to compensate for performance, but that's going to be another trick. I'll show you how we're going to test for this in the next slide. But the basic way to do it is you can actually specify at development time by using the DirectX control panel, which is already installed on your machine, a Direct3D version number, a feature level in the dialog box. And what that will do is it will make that machine emulate, even though maybe it's a DX11 machine, it will emulate a DX9 machine. And so you'll be able to verify that your application actually works on that class of customer's hardware. Now, the thing I want to make clear is nothing I've talked about in this presentation has anything to do with JavaScript. JavaScript does all of this for you behind the scenes. And in fact, it's probably something you certainly don't need to worry about it through XAML either. But if you're using C# and you're calling Direct3D APIs, or if you're using C++ like I'm talking about here today, called Direct3D APIs, it is possible to write code that is dependent on a specific generation of silicon, and that's what we're trying to show you how to do, to manage that issue. And so this is one of the techniques. Now, the point about this emulation mode is that it's not guaranteed to be as accurate of a simulation of an older part as actually going and finding one. So this is where you may go down and find somebody's dust bin where they've got old 3D graphics cards in a pile, and stick one or two of them in your machine and make sure that your title actually runs on a real DX9 chip before you actually submit it for money. So now I guess you can see the conflict, which is how do we balance? On the one hand, I want to look at... Wow, that's just... I want to make my application use the most advanced features. Why? Well, because the reviewers and the other people who are putting stars at the bottom of my store page are going to be very impressed if it uses all those cool features, and they're going to give it lots of stars. But on the other hand, if I only use those advanced features, then it may not work on a system that doesn't have them. And then those people are going to give me 0 stars or 1 star on my review site. And so how do I balance off, you know, getting a good reputation versus a bad reputation? And the other point of this slide is there is kind of a correlation between performance and feature level, but it's not guaranteed. In fact, it's really not something that you should actually rely on at all, because what really happens is there are DX11 chips that just sold in the past year that are in tablets, very small tablets, very battery life efficient, that you know, have a performance level that's not too much higher than some of the most basic machines that are out there. So we have to deal with performance potentially orthogonally to the feature set. And so our recommendation there is going to be that we, you know, I'll talk about performance, I guess, later in the talk. But really, these are the two opposing forces. On the one hand, I want to make my advanced functionality look really, really cool so that the reviewers give me good reviews. On the other hand, I have to make sure that it runs on a full range of hardware, or else I don't get much of an install base and I piss off some people that, you know, will give me bad reviews. So how do we balance these needs? And the answer is just more. So in summary here, the objective is that Windows 8 now supports this broad range of hardware. It will run on all of them. But if you want to optimize your 3D application by using C++ and native code and Direct3D and shaders and HLSL, you have the option of writing code that is specific to those generations of hardware. And it can be challenging to do that, to take advantage of the whole range of expectations. So again, this is the strategy recap for where we are right now. Start out on a DX11 card. Again, it's hard to not find. This is a DX11 laptop, for example. Most of the new machines are coming out are DX11. If I don't think you can possibly buy a graphics card at retail, for example, that isn't DX11. So when you're building your dev machine, put that one in. Then again, start out, make sure your application runs at level 9_1, because that is what the store will expect you to not crash on.